Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me yet again today. All right, quick question before we get too far, and I would like you to email me your response. John@hacktheentrepreneur.com is my email, or Johnny@hacktheentrepreneur, whatever you prefer. Question, I want to create a new training course for you. I want to know what would help you more right now. Option number one, how to build an audience from scratch. Literally how I went from a basement in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, in the middle of nowhere, to an audience of over 100,000 people monthly. I want to walk you through that process, not necessarily with a podcast, but just how you go about building it, finding the people and turning them into raving fans that want to buy things from you. Or option number two, a mindset course called How to Think and Act Like an Entrepreneur. That's option one. That's option two. Right now, if you could, John@hacktheentrepreneur, just let me know which one intrigues you more. All right, enough chit-chat. Let's get into it, shall we? As always, I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a relationship-driven, old-school marketer turned entrepreneur. He's the founder and CEO of Triple R Marketing, where him and his team help clients become leaders in their industries by utilizing his 20-plus years experience in sales and marketing. In this conversation, we discuss understanding the true value of relationships, why windshields are larger than rearview mirrors, and why your business doesn't need to be everywhere. Now, let's hack. Matt Rudlinger. A couple days ago, I was over on cbinsights.com. It's a data aggregation company, and they had this interesting article in Dataset. They had looked at sort of what they call the postmortems of 101 startups that had failed. They came up with 20 reasons from these 101 reasons. The number one reason why startups failed from this list was there was no market need, which means that nobody was asking the right questions to the right people. This is why you need to use Typeform in your business. Typeform will allow you or enable you to ask the right questions to the right people. And so this will ensure that you get market fit and don't end up in that list of postmortems. Luckily for you, Typeform makes this simple. Sign up for Typeform for free today at typeform.com/hack. When collecting data, remember one rule. Put people first, data second. And you'll get all the data you could possibly need. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So let's jump straight into it, shall we?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Matt, you are a man that wears many hats, but we're talking to Matt, the entrepreneur today. So as that person, Matt, can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The one thing I would say is really understand relationships, because that is where sales is at today, is in the relationships that you have with people. I think the days of B2B and B2C are gone. We're now people to people because we're so connected in so many ways with social media and just technology itself. So that's, would say, it would be a real core of how we've grown to where we're at today is by relationships.
So this real understanding of relationships is that, so it's not business to business, it's not business to consumer, it's literally just person to person?
Absolutely. I think to sustain business, when we're talking about working with other businesses, I mean, the bottom line is really, unless it's just a commodity, but you're talking about looking for that customer that will be with you for a lifetime or a period, a series of time, you know, they have to like you before they're going to buy from you, right? So it's kind of creating those relationships that you have with the customer that they trust you and you become a resource for them. And so that they know that when they come to you, they're being taken care of and they know that they're getting the best product and service and just, you know, to being taken care of. Just, you know, it's kind of like I was putting yourself in the other person's shoe at all time. And I think that is a core to really building any business.
Putting yourself in the other person's shoes. So it was interesting to read through your bio and see 20 plus years in sales and marketing. How has sales and marketing changed with the advent of the internet? Besides just the human connection, like how are we finding people? What is it that's changed?
Well, the big thing that changed is that because it's so easy to find so many customers or so easy to find so many different businesses and there's so much opportunity with technology that you can't use the phrase we're striving just to have satisfied customers because that's like not even a mark anymore. That's the bare minimum is having your customers satisfied and providing a good quality product and service. Well, again, there's so much competition out there and it's so easy to find that competition because of technology and the web that is no longer a indicator of success with a business. I mean, that's just a given now. And I think technology has created this huge opportunity for everyone. And you got to realize that you're on that same playing field with other businesses. And so how do you evolve above that? And again, that kind of always brings us back down to the core of the relationship. It's almost like just because we have technology, we're throwing out so many different darts, if you will, at the board trying to make things stick. But sometimes you got to step back a little bit and bring a little bit of the old school and get to know people a little more so they get to know you a little more because that's not in the technology. You know what I'm saying?
I do. That's what I was really hoping to get to because I think that a lot of people come online and they don't make the correlation to relationships with actual humans, but on the other side of a computer and sort of those old school marketing and selling techniques, which I feel absolutely work online. They just need to be sort of melded together with the tech.
Yeah. I mean, well, look at Facebook advertising. Last year, it grew 50% from previous years. So guess what? Your competition, the business next beside you, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing Facebook marketing, and we help businesses with that. We help them with Facebook. Everybody's doing the AdWords. Everybody's doing the newsletter blast. It's like it's no secret that everybody's doing it. So how are you going to separate? How are you going to separate yourself from that crowd of doing what everybody else is doing? Well, that's where creating those experiences for your customers, building those relationships. That's how you separate yourself from doing everything that everybody else is doing because it's too easy. I mean, you can hit 5,000 people now and what, a minute. So how do you step aside from that when you are working with the client? How do you create that emotional attachment that they could have for your business to separate you from the competition?
And in your own instance with Triple R Marketing, since 2005, I wasn't looking for a marketing firm in 2005, but I'm assuming there was still quite a few of them at the time. But nowadays, it seems like somebody thinks that they read an ebook on like how to do Facebook ads and they can create their own marketing firm with no sort of track record, no history, because if it's sort of targeted right, and as you said, you can reach out to these people and find people enough. How have you, in the advent of Facebook and LinkedIn and newsletters, how have you differentiated Triple R from all the other marketing firms out there?
Well, again, it goes back to really knowing the businesses that we're working with. What's their goals? What are they trying to achieve? And kind of helping them bring a personal aspect to every marketing campaigns and the approach that they take as well. So helping businesses understand the human element of marketing is really what we try to help them do from on our side. Bottom line, here's the bottom line. I mean, here's the question I always like to ask businesses. And, you know, you may know how to send out the Facebook ads and do certain things. But, you know, about 3 years ago, we have always sent out caramels to our customers for their birthdays. Several emails and phone calls and appreciations for it. It's definitely part of our relationship that we have with our customers. And the lady that owned the business for years, she was going to close it down. So, which was really kind of devastating to us because it was a big part of our business. And so I was trying to find some places around here in town that were local that could replace kind of what we had with her and just the kind of way that we worked with her. And I couldn't find anything like it, just knowing her and how we worked together. Make a long story short, we did purchase the bit. We ended up buying the business and we had it for a few years because we couldn't find anything to replace it. So my question that I like to ask businesses is, if you were to close your doors today, what would your customers do? What would they think and say? Because if they just say, well, I'll just find somebody else, or they're just a Google search away, something's missing there. And so how do you create that relationship to where there would be a sense of urgency on their end that they would not be able to replace what you provide to them? I don't care what product or service you're putting out there, but what is that connection with your customer that's so intimate that they would not know what to do immediately if you said you were closing your door? It would actually be a concern to them. And that's a good question that I always like to have businesses ask themselves. What would your customers do? And a lot of them are like, I don't know. Well, there's your starting point. Let's create something that creates that connection with them so that there would be that panic if that ever was to happen.
You want to create the panic in your customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's better to do it now while you're still having the connection with them before they say, hey, we've moved on, we've changed our services, or we're moving to a different company.
Fair enough. So you are a marketing consultant at this point?
So we do consulting. Yes, we do consulting, and we also help with other avenues through social media. We've got our certification through Google, and we do among some other things. But yes, we do a lot of consulting.
So 12 years as a marketing consultant. In other aspects of your business, Matt, that you may have had issues or not been as strong in, do you personally use coaches or consultants?
Yes. So I'm a firm believer in mastermind groups, having coaching, because we all get in ruts. We all need different perspective. So I think anyone who is in business, sales, should always be a student, always learning, listening to podcasts like this, reading books, and, you know, just constantly learning, because everything's evolving. Yes, business is evolving, but the consumer is evolving faster. So you have to always try to stay a few steps behind them or with them at all times.
Yeah, it's an endless sort of evolution. And does that evolution, like constant, especially with the consumer being faster than businesses, does that excite you? Or does that sort of stress you out that, like, it's, you just, no matter what you know today, next week you have to know something different to stay ahead?
Well, I mean, I think it's easy to get wrapped up in trying to be everywhere that the consumers are at because it's moving so fast. But if you're creating stories, creating experiences with customers that they want to tell other people about, you're always going to be on that latest platform because they're going to be talking about you, right? That's how you kind of keep up with the relevancy of the speed of how fast all these, you know, where customers are going and the platforms they're on. Are you creating a reason for them to talk about your business in a good way? But yeah, so it's, I find it very interesting. It's, the world's definitely changing. Look at the iTunes. I mean, there's no more commercials on the iTunes or the Apple Music. And then I don't know if you notice on YouTube, but they're pushing the paid subscription with no advertising now more than ever. And to say one of these days that Facebook, you know, everyone says Facebook will never do that. Well, I don't know if you realize, but last year they've came out with two different revenue models to generate with competing against some of the platforms like Slack and stuff. You never know. So you know, it's definitely an interesting time right now in the world of marketing, to where the consumer's in charge of everything, obviously, as far as what's being said and how they feel about things. And brands better listen to what they're saying. And because it's getting to the point where I can see it happening, that the consumer is going to have the right to never listen to a piece of advertisement if they don't want to. It's coming.
Fair enough. And it's hard, like you said at the beginning, it's overwhelming to maybe try and have to be on every channel and try and, like, how do I stay in front of everything? How do I know what's going to be big? Which social media platform? All that stuff. But as sort of a blanket sort of statement, Matt, as like an average small business, how many channels, like as in social channels, would you say that they should be focusing on first?
Well, they should focus where the majority of their customers are at. That's what they have got to figure out. If their customers are on Facebook, most of them, well, that's where they need to be. If they're on Snapchat, that's where you need to be. Or Instagram, you just got to figure out where they're at, because you're not going to, you know, there's too many platforms, but kind of go where the majority of your consumers are at. That's how you decide where you should be at online.
But first, that takes actually getting a deep understanding of who your customer is.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think any business needs to understand who their customer is. And really, you know, you're in an area where there's so much competition, that's good to really stop and really get to know your customer, because you want to sort of become specialized almost, instead of being so generalized with everything, so that people realize that you're the go-to company for these AB products and services. Then your message can be more direct as well, because there's a lot of noise out there. So I think really knowing what your niche is in the market and knowing who your consumer is really important when you're talking about doing any kind of online or any advertising in general.
And should that evolve for a small business? Should it evolve to sort of continuously sort of weed out the customers or clients that aren't sort of driving that business in the direction that the owner wants it to?
Absolutely. Yeah, you really got to figure out who your client is and realize that it's not everybody. I mean, I always laugh and reference the old, I can't remember, it was one of the seafood commercials, and they had like 100 fishing poles out there, and he's like, I want it all, you know? And the problem with that is that when you try to go after too many clients, you know, with such a broad range, it's hard to really find that niche that you're looking for. And it does take some different trial and error to figure that out. I mean, over time, I think you kind of realize, as you're working with different businesses and different clients, kind of what they look for and maybe a process that they're looking to work through. It evolves over time, but it's something that you definitely continuously work on getting to that point.
Now, before we get any further with Matt, I want to ask you, listening, a question. What does entrepreneurship mean to you? To me, entrepreneurship simply means the creation of something out of nothing. It's taking your idea and turning it into reality, turning it into a business. Our ideas, though, it doesn't matter how good the idea is, it needs to be promoted. It needs to be branded. As entrepreneurs, we are not necessarily good at everything. We're not supposed to be good at everything. We're supposed to do what we're good at and delegate the rest, right? This is why I absolutely love Fiverr. Because with Fiverr, it doesn't matter what you need done to grow your business, because you can find an expert to do it for you quickly. If you're ready to join the already millions of entrepreneurs who have built their businesses using Fiverr, then go to fiverr.com/HTE and get yourself a new free account. Even if you have an existing account, you get to take advantage of this too. Get 20% off your very next purchase, no matter what it is, on Fiverr with promo code HTE. All right, let's get back to the conversation. So this is a great place to segue into projects. So projects is a loose term, Matt, but with defining your customer, with finding these, like, the niche that you should be in, where you should be specializing, let's call it a project where you either need to push a new product into there or else new marketing strategies into that. But you need to decide that this is something that's worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources. So could you tell me, Matt, you personally and within Triple R Marketing, how is it that you are right now going about deciding that a new project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
Well, I mean, we just, you know, a lot of it is listening. So like we just started really ramping up our Google AdWords about a year ago. And the reason why is because the market was telling us that the YouTube ads were going away. The Facebook ads, there's concern about that possibly going away. So, you know, then we've seen that average click-through rates on Google ads are only like 1-2%. But, okay, so we look at that and we're like, all right, that's kind of odd. You know, here's this part, this industry, we can definitely see it, where it's going in a few years. But this industry here, 1-2%, what's going on here, you know? And we know that Google has the industry for search queries, right? So we start investing, you know, we kind of look at the market, look at everything that we have, what's going on. And we realize, well, the reason why those click-through rates are so low is because most of the ads you see are very general and irrelevant to the search queries, right? So, you know, based on that, we're like, all right, we feel like this is a niche that we can really zone in on and create better results for clients based on more of understanding the person behind the keyboard making those search queries. So we did a kind of assessment of the market, where it's been, where it's going, where is a shortage or maybe a loophole or not as a high return that we're seeing for customers. And we looked in there and we decided that's where we wanted to go. And so now we're doing AdWords and we're crushing that 1-2% ratio because we understand what is behind the person who's behind the keyboard looking for things. So, you know, and I think that's for any business. You just kind of see, where have you been? Where are things going? Pay attention to the trends. I mean, trends will tell you what your next project should be or what you should be looking into. And then finding where you can go in and take a niche in the market where there's a void or there's room for improvement.
It's interesting that Google AdWords, like Facebook, Pinterest, all these things that seem to can come and sort of come in huge waves and then start to dwindle, and there's been countless of them, but Google AdWords has been so consistently growing. And I'm not an ad expert, but I mean, Google AdWords has been around since I've been around online, and it's kind of impressive. So can you tell me, like, why can Google manage to continually perform as an ad resource?
Because they have the market. I mean, it's kind of like saying, I want a Coke, and then you may want a Pepsi, right? Now people just say, Google it, right? I mean, so it's embedded into our brains that, you know, it's the terminology, it's what we use. So they are the brand for search queries. So as long as they have the market, they're always going to be able to have that platform that everybody's looking at, you know, and they can control what you're going to see first, what you're going to see second. And, you know, we're so used to it now that it used to be you seen an ad and you're like, I'm not going to click it. It's an ad. They're trying to trick me. But nowadays, the click-through rates on, you know, the people that will click the ads now is going up substantially, especially with the younger generation. They just want to get what they want, what they're looking for. They don't care if it's an ad or not. So it's becoming more popular because of, you know, it's becoming more relevant just because of that. It's because the other thing is it's not interrupting your, that's the other part of it. It's not interrupting your social life. You know, like when you go on Facebook and these other ones, ads are coming up to you that you didn't ask to really see if they're relevant to what you're looking for. You're competing with family and friends on there. When you go to Google, you're getting ads that are relevant, hopefully, to what you're actually looking for. So there's a big difference on the different types of advertising there as well. And I think that's another reason why AdWords will always be so dominant, because for that reason there.
That's really, really true. And like when you said that they have the search, they have the volume, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But you're right. Like Facebook to me is like a shit show, because like to go on it as a user, like the yep. ads coming at, and because it's like somebody might be targeting an ad to you for something, a page you liked 2 years ago or something, and you're so not interested in that stuff anymore. But there you are, you're in that algorithm, and now And it's like, this is, but you're right. It's like, if I type in how to play the drums into Google right now, you can give me ads for that. And it's like, well, this is exactly what I want this second.
Right.
Wow. Exactly. That seems so simple, but I've never thought of it that way.
Right. You know, it's not disruptive marketing, and disruptive marketing is what's being kind of in the air right now on how long that's going to last. It's going to be, it's on the online market. It's really, you're seeing it replenish. So definitely that's a key factor in why one is always going to be at the top and one is where it's at now and where it's going.
Do they play different, like, do they play sort of different parts of a marketing, like I guess, program? Like, if you're going after people for certain, like, if somebody wants to learn how to do something or somebody wants to buy something, I would assume they go to Google and they search that immediately. And with YouTube, which is Google anyways, but then through relevancy with Facebook, if it is done right, you can sort of be introduced to things that maybe you weren't. So, like, does it really depend on the business? Because I mean, I would assume most people who are on Facebook are also on Google because they're serving different purposes. But you know what I mean? Like, does it depend on who it is sort of, or what their intent is at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you may have a business that is going to have an event, or maybe, I don't know, even an open house. They could have a sale going on in an area. And something like Facebook would be more ideal because you can hit area and people in that specific area. It may be specific interest to see what you have going on. I mean, again, you're pushing the ads out to people that may like your product or service on social channels. So, I mean, that's where you want to go for that avenue. And then the AdWords, though, is when, you know, people are actually interested in that product or the service that you have. So, I mean, it's totally a different audience. I mean, one, you're kind of out there, you know, shouting, hey, listen, here's what I've got, you know, here's what we're doing. And the other one is, hey, when somebody's looking for my product service, I want to be the first one up there that they get to talk to and see. So, I mean, it's definitely a different approach. Could be based on location, could be based on a certain type of product, service, what you're doing. So yeah, there's definitely a different application for both.
Right. So if I was hosting a live event in San Diego and somebody didn't know about it, they wouldn't be searching for it on Google, but they could be based in San Diego with the interests of the live event and I could market it to them.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, they have their place. Right. And the key is to know when and how to figure that out. And, you know, it's just depends on what it is. If it's something that people can perceive as good value, you know, they're a little more forgiving versus just trying to sell your stuff all the time. You know, again, social media is always, they used to say 80-20 rule. It really should be 90-10 anymore. 90% of the time you need to be giving good information, sharing good stuff, and not just giving book reports of stuff that I already know out there, but really kind of being creative and making yourself engaging. And then the other 10% of the time you can ask for a sale or promote something. But, you know, a friend of mine told me that, you know, social media was like a window into the house of a business. It's not the foundation, it's not the roof, but you look in there and, or it gives people an opportunity to look in there, see what's going on, and if they like it, they can come in the front door. I love that analogy of social media. I think it's exactly what it is. People get really kind of, it's the human side of your business, you know. That's what social media needs to be about on a day-to-day operation. You know, then when you get into the advertising, obviously figuring out who your audience is and really conveying a message that excites them.
And what your goal is. I'm assuming, like, I know Facebook is huge for getting email leads, but I don't know if Google is at this point, or if you should be going direct to, like, sales processes at that point.
You know, the key with Google is to make sure if you're going to send somebody to your site that they are really getting what they're looking for. I mean, and Google's just actually came out with a pretty big update a couple of weeks, about a month ago. Well, I mean, they really are digging into the site now. It's not just sending in. They're not just sending someone to a website. They're making sure that the information on that site is relevant to that ad. So they're really working on creating a better experience for the users on their own platform when they're using their advertising. So, I mean, I think it was a really good update by Google, but what they did.
Try and stop the shady marketers and yep. enhance the job of people like you who are doing it white hat style.
Absolutely.
That's always welcome, isn't it?
I like it. Yes. Yeah, it's like, thank you.
finally, a move in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, this has been an absolute blast, man. I do want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Okay.
After 400 interviews, I've been working with this idea of calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this gap that some of us as entrepreneurs, as dreamers have, which is no matter what we accomplish and what we strive for and hit in our businesses and in our lives, we always seem to personally project our successes into the future. So in 3 months when you hit that revenue metric, or 6 months when you stand on that stage, whatever it happens to be, you and I both know that seconds before you hit that goal, Matt, you're going to set 10 bigger ones into the future, which is necessary in its way. But with that always looking forward, I would like to stop that for 1 second, or a couple minutes if I could, Matt, and stop if you could and turn and look behind you. You've been at this game 20 plus years in sales and marketing, your own business for over 12 years at this point. I would love to just know how you feel about this whole sort of journey, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses up until today.
Obviously, there's a reason that the front window is bigger. The front window in your car is bigger than the rear view mirror, right? Because what's in front of you is always more important than what's behind you. And I think that's really key for businesses. You're going to have these roller coasters, ups and downs. You mentioned about the projections and things like that. I'll never forget. I heard Darren Hardy speak once, and he has a book called The Compound Effect, and this talks about making really tangible goals for your business and your personal life and take small steps. And I think that's been a big key when I look back now in the success that I've had, is by making more small obtainable goals in a quicker time versus trying to project what I'm going to do in 2 years, in 3 years, because it's going to change, especially today. And that's one thing. What you think you're going to do next month is probably going to change. So creating small tangible goals in your business and personal life, and use those as your anchor to make it to the next step.
Nice. I like it. And I like the analogy of the windshield in your car and the rearview mirror. I've never heard that before. So Matt, throughout all this, we've talked about you and your business and also identifying your ideal client. There's a lot of people out there listening right now. Could you now, Matt, tell the listener specifically what your business is, who specifically it's for, and where they can track it down online?
Sure. So they can reach us online at Triple R Marketing, and spelled out Triple R Marketing, or you could put RRR Marketing and still make it, because that happens a lot. So our ideal client is a business that's looking to really ramp up their online presence and creating experiences with their customers, and they really get them to start raving about them online to their friends and families. And other coworkers. I mean, that's really kind of who we work with. And we do social media marketing. We do web design. We do the Google AdWords. We also have the line where we do promotional products and apparel. So, I'll be happy to reach and connect with anyone, and we'll look forward to it.
Very cool. Do you have a social media that you hang out on personally?
I'm still old school, like Facebook. My daughters laugh at me. Every once in a while, I get on Snapchat, and then they tell me to get off. So, so it's just...
Very cool.
Yeah, so I still like Facebook.
Nice. Okay, we'll track down a link for that if anybody has follow-up questions, or they can track you down through RRRmarketing.com. How long did it take you from having the triple R spelled out to the RRR marketing? How many people had to do that before you realized that, wow, we need to get that domain?
A funny story is that somebody, when I first started, I went, started the business, somebody had it, and they had purchased it for like 7 or 8 years. I can't remember exactly. And I waited for it. I actually put it on my calendar so that as soon as it came up that I could grab it, because it happened all the time. So as soon as it came up, I snatched it, and I remember having a big woohoo party about it, because I was like, thank goodness, because I had so many people say, well, I typed in R marketing and there was nothing there. So it was always kind of on the horizon to kind of snatch it as soon as it came available. So because I reached out to them and they never got back to me on like trying to buy it from them or anything. So it was kind of a hunting game for me.
Sometimes you just got to put it on the calendar and wait till it expires and buy it.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, Matt. All right, man. Thank you so much again, man, for stopping by. Thanks for sharing so much with me and the audience. And I don't know, man, just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome to watch.
Thank you. Really appreciate you having me on here.
All right. That was a lot of fun, and we're going to keep this party rolling. Here's my favorite part. Here's where we're going to go back through the conversation with Matt, and we're going to look for that one specific thing Matt said. Are you ready? Let's do this together. All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
My question that I like to ask businesses is, if you were to close your doors today, what would your customers do? What would they think and say? Because if they just say, well, I'll just find somebody else, or they're just a Google search away, something's missing there.
And that's the hack. Matt. I've had a lot of people on the show. I've had a lot of people say a lot of things. And I really, really, really like this one. What would your customer say if you were to close your doors for your business today? What would they say? What would they do? How would they react? How would they replace you? And if it's just a Google search away, as Matt says, to replace you and your service or your product, then there's something missing. This is such a simple yet profound mindset shift to really appreciate your business for what it is, and then to hopefully push yourself to realistically look at it and answer this question. My guess is, if you're like me, you would probably answer it like, wow, maybe I am just a Google search away. And then that will hopefully put you down a track of finding ways to differentiate yourself. Even if you don't have a business yet or a product yet, and you're still working on that, this is a great way to be even approaching this rather than having it all set up and running and years later giving this the thought. This is about relationships. This is about having that connection to your customer, to your client, to your audience, in a way that you are not just a commodity and replaceable. Typically, if you're in a small, tiny sort of business that I like to talk about a lot and I like to purport and push people towards, where you're sort of the business yourself, then this is actually easier to do because you just need to let more of yourself out. Let more of yourself into the business because there is no replacement for you. There's no replacement for me. Yeah, there's a ton of other business podcasts out there, people who talk about similar sort of things maybe, but it's not me. So if I go out of business tomorrow or get hit by a bus, then yeah, you can go on to other things, but it's not going to be a direct replacement for me. At least I hope not. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. But it's also, I'm realizing that maybe I don't differentiate enough into that. And it's going to push me, because of Matt, because of this hack, to strive to go even further in that direction of separation. Matt, thank you so very much. All right. So at the very beginning, I asked you a question. Two ideas. Which one grabs you the most? Number one, how to build an audience from scratch. Number two, how to think and act like an entrepreneur. A mindset sort of teachings. One or two. Does one of those, or if neither of those grab you, email me, john@hacktheentrepreneur.com, and tell me what would grab your attention. I'm here. I want to talk to you. I'm not even making this up. I've been talking to a lot of you in the email, people who have been responding to me. I mean, we've been having conversations. I'm trying to push people forward. It's 2018. I want to help you as much as I possibly can to do the work that matters to you and hopefully to the people around you. So yeah, reach out. It'll be fun. It's a low barrier to entry. Come on. All right. I had a blast. I hope you did too. I truly, truly thank you for stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.